today as we come to the table.
If you were here last week, you remember that. We said, look, just have a time where you get alone with your wife, get alone with your husband, and just ask each other's forgiveness. And if you forget something that you didn't, please forgive me of that, let them remind you and swallow your pride and bite your tongue and let them finish and say, please forgive me and get restored. Let God rip everything out that's causing problems and division in your marriage. But I think this is another area that although sometimes we're timid to talk about to some degree, God talks about it to a degree we need to as well. And that is, you know, there are some of us who are unfaithful before marriage. And what we did was we planted seeds of unfaithfulness and destruction in our marriage. And until we go back and deal with that, we're never going to be where God wants us to be foundationally. Mark, what do you mean? What I mean is this. If you were unfaithful before you got married, you need to ask your wife's forgiveness.
We are all prone to being impolite to others. It's just human nature. We sometimes, even unknowingly, get into arguments with other people. Even in marriage, we argue with our spouses. And those arguments can leave a long-term bruise and hurt in the relationship because neither side is willing to apologize to the other. In today's message, Pastor Mark tells you how you can strengthen your marriage by apologizing to your spouse. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the Daily Bible Study Program of Mark Kirk, Senior Pastor of Calvary Knoxville. Bruises and pain from a long time ago may require time to heal. The best way to help your marriage is to ask your spouse for forgiveness for each and every hurtful emotion and let God do the healing. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Genesis, chapter 2, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
As I said before, I can promise if you're letting your in-laws have too much influence in your family, you're having trouble right now in your marriage. And that might even mean, again, I think about my girls getting married and then grandkids. And you know, there's this whole thing that's funny. It's funny to say that you begin to look forward to it. I feel too young to be looking forward to it, but you know, there's going to come a day when you think about, wow, your kids are going to have kids and this is fun. You start playing all over and you know, and when you're done, you know, you can send them home. I mean, this is a good deal. You know, you can have all the fun and then let the parents deal with all the crying and stuff later. And so it's a great setup, you know, and I look forward to that in a very strange way, you know. But guys, the thing to realize is that if we go outside of God's instruction here, we're going to have problems in the home. And so, and this may even mean sometimes in tough, you know, there may be things where you're raising your kids and you know, your parents think, I don't think you should be raising them that way. You need to receive that and take it to the Lord, but then you've got to go before the Lord and say, but God, what would you have me do? This is our family. And you've got to establish your own authority structure and do things the way that you feel God would have you do it. Now, let me give this balance. Does this mean that we never receive wise counsel or help from our parents who incidentally are much older and wiser than we are? Doesn't mean that at all. There are years of wisdom and experience that we can glean from. And I have found that over the years, that oftentimes counsel that I've been given, I didn't always think was right at the moment, was exactly right on. And I look back and go, you know what? Maybe I didn't know as much as I thought I knew. And I think we all go through that, don't we? So I'm not saying that we don't receive that counsel. I'm saying there's got to be a line that we draw and say, all right, I take the counsel. I hear what's being said. I receive that. I assimilate it. But now here's what we've got to decide. What are we going to do for our family? And if we don't draw that line, we're going to have continual problems. It's foundational for marriage. And so notice it's the first thing God mentions. You've got to break away. There's got to be this leaving and this cleaving. And I think that it's especially hard for the wife. You know, I think of being a daughter, and I can't imagine what that's like, but I see how daughters look up to their dads. I see how the girls, my girls look up to me, and I think now they suddenly they're at this age where they marry somebody else and they're supposed to listen to them. You know, maybe it's going to be easier than I think, but I would think in my mind, it's like, you know what, I always trusted dad, but who are you? You know, Paul I know, you know, Jesus I know, but who are you? You know, whatever, right? But the bottom line is that, you know what, God says, I will work through your husband. I'll give him wisdom. I'll show him what to do. He's going to mess up a lot. But I'll lead him if he's seeking me. So notice next there, he says, after you leave your father and your mother, you're to cleave to your spouse. You know, you're to be joined together. It literally means to cling to. This is now your new established relationship that God has given. Again, not breaking away all relations with the parents, but this now takes priority. It's a new thing that takes place. And again, it's a warning, I believe, against cleaving too tightly to our parents or any other family member and cleaving to our spouse. But lastly, notice the husband and wife are then to become one flesh. Now again, yes, that happens. As they join, there's a mystical thing that happens, not just one flesh physically, but there's a mystical spiritual thing that takes place in the marriage. God says you're going to become one. And so there's this oneness that takes place in this new relationship and this new union. And if there's not this breaking away from too much, you know, influence from outside, and if there's not this establishing of your own family unit, and then this becoming one with the person you're with, that you cling to them, they become your best friend, they become the one closest to you, then you're not going to have a good foundation laid for all the things that have to come for the years down the road. That's got to be in place. What happens if you're not clinging to your husband or wife? And the relationship isn't good, and then the relationship starts going sour, what do you do now? There's nothing to build on, you see. So God says, look, Adam and Eve, I want you to have this foundation. I want you to realize there's going to be for better or for worse. There's going to be bad times, but you got to lay the foundation the right way so that when the bad times come, you're going to be able to deal with it. You're going to be able to handle it. And notice here he says in verse 25, it says, he goes on and just more gives an explanation here. He says, and they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. Now, this is an interesting verse to me. I've always wondered, why did God put that there? Now, what does that mean? You read it. They were naked, and, you know, they weren't ashamed and all. It's like, so I don't really understand that, you know, initially as you begin to look at it. But this is a very important verse here because, you know, one of the areas that I think brings us much of our difficulty in marriage is the shame that often comes from not really dealing with our bodies properly from our past. You know, Adam and Eve didn't have to worry about past sins as God brought them together and what happened. But notice, this instruction is not just for Adam and Eve, it's for the future, because you're talking here about husband leaving his father and mother. Adam and Eve didn't have a father and mother. So again, he's giving instruction for the future, and I believe he's giving instruction here as well and basically describing the way that God intended it to be. They were naked and they were unashamed. Now, again, what's the purpose of this? When it comes to a husband and wife, even in the most intimate details, there's nothing to be ashamed of. And I believe that this is not specifically referring to the sexual side of the relationship, but God simply pointing out that before sin entered the picture, there was nothing embarrassing or shameful about the way God designed things in the relationship between the husband and wife, including the shells, these bodies that we've been put in to carry our spirit, that we interact in. But after sin entered the picture, then entered perversion and the sinful lust and all these things. And so now we have this issue in marriages where we need to understand, okay, well, how do I establish and have a good foundation in my marriage to deal with these things? And so I think that God's putting this in here again, just as a general observation, but also maybe as an instruction here for us in our relationships and the way it's supposed to function normally. And again, not till after sin did things get twisted and perverted that it became a problem. Now, let me say this. Although I do not necessarily think that the physical relationship is the primary focus here, there is certainly an application. And intimate relations between a man and a woman have been God's blessing and design since the beginning of time. It wasn't until sin entered the picture that it became ugly. Listen, God is the one that designed the relationship between husband and wife. We didn't come up with it. It was God's design. And so God says it's a beautiful thing and it's supposed to be there. It just says, listen, the physical relationship is blessed and ordained of the Lord. It's just when it's outside of marriage that it's wrong. And parents, I caution us on this because I think that it's our propensity to do this, even in raising our kids. You know, we don't want to raise our kids somehow thinking that physical relations between a man and a woman are dirty or bad. Because they're not. It's God ordained. It's God's design. And yet there's a mindset we have to have. Now, that doesn't mean that we're not protective of them. That doesn't mean that we don't have in the proper confines. But it should be something that is discussed in such a way that it's beautiful. It's a blessing of the Lord. When you're at the right age, we'll talk about it more, et cetera, et cetera. But it's something where your whole life, you know, you're hearing no, 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 no. And you get married and suddenly it's yes. And you're like, wait a minute. Are you sure? Is something wrong here? And are we, you know, in trouble or whatever? And this kind of thing. God says, no. It's been yes the whole life. I encourage you, you need to teach your kids that it's yes from the beginning on all God's blessings and promises, but they need to be done in the proper way and in the proper time. See, the only forbiddance of the physical relationship between a man and a woman that God gives anywhere in Scripture is let it not be outside marriage. He says, within marriage, it's my blessing. I came up with it. It's my idea. You know, you go through the Song of Solomon, and I'll tell you, if you understand the Song of Solomon and what God is saying, and the reason I say that when you read it, it's written in a lot of kind of poetic ways and all these kind of things that if you don't really understand what he's saying, you don't really grasp it. But I mean, the Song of Solomon can make you blush. I mean, God, when you read it, God not only is ordaining the marriage and the physical relationship part, God is giving his blessing to it. And the Lord says, I'm there. He says, at one point, I'm with you. Enjoy. This is your blessing. I've designed this. It's my idea. I think some of us have so much of this, no, 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 it's bad, 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 dirty, 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 you know, our whole life because, you know, rightfully so, we've parents have tried to raise us up so that we didn't fall in that area. Then when that time comes, we think, well, not only is God not there, nobody would be, and probably the demons are. Probably, you know, if we could see in the spirit realm, all around us or something. And yet God gives a picture in the Song of Solomon of being there with you, rejoicing. Now, we're not going to try to, I'm not going to go any more detail or be embarrassed. This is God's word, Song of Solomon. I'm just saying that we have the wrong mindset about God's design. And we have to understand that, you know, God has this thing that is, if we entered into marriage where it was unashamed, then God could do what he wanted to do in the way it was designed. The problem is because so many of us come from a tainted background, then now we enter into marriage with all this baggage and all this ugliness. And all these images we don't want to have, men enter into marriage with all these things they shouldn't have seen and been a part of, and it just taints everything, all their expectations and all the thoughts when it comes to a relationship between husband and wife. Women enter in feeling like they've been used and abused oftentimes, and so it's like, you know what, to them it's something that's not beautiful or it's like, yuck, and I, you know, and whatever, and there's all these things that happen, and it creates problems within the marriage. And so what we have to first understand is foundationally, God says, no, this is my design, it's a good thing, but you've got to start over. And if you've come into the marriage with all that baggage, then it's time just to confess it and just rip it out and say, God, I just want to start over and I need you to retrain my brain. I need you to retrain my heart. I need you to give me a new mindset of the way this is supposed to work. You know, we talked last week about husband and wives getting together and asking each other's forgiveness to rebuild the marriage. If you were here last week, you remember that. We said, look, just have a time where you get alone with your wife, get alone with your husband, and just ask each other's forgiveness. And if you forget something that you didn't, please forgive me of that, let them remind you and swallow your pride. And bite your tongue and let them finish and say, please forgive me and get restored. Let God rip everything out that's causing problems and division in your marriage. But I think this is another area that although sometimes we're timid to talk about to some degree, God talks about it to a degree we need to as well. And that is, you know, there are some of us who were unfaithful before marriage. And what we did was we planted seeds of unfaithfulness and destruction in our marriage. And until we go back and deal with that, we're never going to be where God wants us to be foundationally. Mark, what do you mean? What I mean is this. If you were unfaithful before you got married, you need to ask your wife's forgiveness. And if you were unfaithful before you got married, you need to ask your husband's forgiveness and say, you know what? I had no right to have you as my own in that way because that is only something that God has ordained for the vows. And I hadn't given those vows yet. Therefore, I had no right. Will you forgive me? And then the bride needs to, each needs to do the same thing. You see, this is not just so that you can be humble, which is great, but this is rebuilding the marriage. You've got to rip out all the old stuff and start over and say, you know what? I'm going to confess it. I'm going to ask forgiveness, and I want to do this the right way. How can we get to where God really wants us to be? And how can we learn to be free in every area of marriage and not be in bondage in any area of marriage, especially in some of the most sensitive areas of marriage, because our past has been so tainted we can't be free. And now we need to ask forgiveness and get free and say, you know what? It's time to move on, and we're going to do this God's way. And I'll tell you, if there's ever been any jealousy or lack of trust in the marriage, then oftentimes you can link it back to relations before marriage. Why? Well, if you weren't faithful to do what you knew was right before marriage, why would you be faithful to do what's right after? And so when the husband leaves, you think, well, we weren't married and that happened. Well, why is he 30 minutes late? Why would me being married now make him any different? He wasn't faithful before. Maybe he's not faithful now. And so we as husbands have to reestablish in the hearts of our wives and say, you know what, you're right, I wasn't faithful, but I'm repenting. And I ask your forgiveness of not being faithful to God or to you, and I want to be forgiven. And when you do that in your spouse's life, you know what that does for them? It gives them rest. Because if they're humble enough to ask forgiveness and say, I'm going to deal with that issue now, then what makes you think they're just going to run out and be unfaithful in some other way? No, they've humbled themselves. There's a trust that's rebuilt. There's a faithfulness there. And so I know some of these things can be painful. But we have to be honest enough to face them and see that God has given us an answer to it. We need to get to a place to where, just like them, we're unashamed. And that all these things are out in the open and all these things are taken care of and all these things can be dealt with, you know, through the Lord. You know, there's no greater blessing than being physically pure before marriage as it allows one to enter into marriage the way God intended. However, for many of us, it's too late. And many of us that are already married. But here's the good news, guys. Listen, here's the good news. God says, I make all things new. He says, you confess it, I wipe it away, the slate's clean. Yeah, there may be some consequences that linger. It won't change overnight, things will take time. But God says, I'll give you a brand new start. It's like, again, in the Song of Solomon, he says, it's planting a garden, we're going to start brand new, we plowed it up, now we're going to plant good seeds and we're going to start over. And it may take a while to see the harvest come through, but the harvest is going to be there. And there's going to be a time you're going to be rejoicing in every area of your marriage if you simply follow the instruction manual that God has given. And yet we don't, and so we wonder why we don't, and we have these, you know, hard situations, you know. But again, having a pure mind and heart toward the physical side of the relationship without all the baggage and sin and past memories is a blessing. God can give that again. And I think that sin in this area sometimes brings fear and anger and misunderstanding and even wrong expectations. You know, I mean, you got to remember, Satan's picture of this whole thing is to paint some unrealistic picture that, you know, gives you the wrong mindset and the whole thing going in. You've got to say, no, God, what is your expectations? What did you say marriage is to be? And I want to shift it now some to the parents. And some of you go, good. But this is all the more reason that we as parents need to be teaching and stressing purity with our children. We can't go back and change the errors that we've made, but we can try our best to prevent our children from making those same errors. You know, one of the best gifts you could give a child is to send them into a marriage in purity. And if it means setting up boundaries to do so, set up boundaries. I pray for my girls now. Lord, I pray that at the altar they will be pure physically. That's my prayer. And I pray for their little husbands right now. I do. I pray God raise them up in you, and I pray they'd be pure physically at the altar. And I pray you'd bring along godly young men. And so there's nothing, be praying for your kids. It's one of the best gifts you can give them. It's not just the right thing to do, but there becomes great reward of the fact they can go into their marriage unhindered and now enjoy what God has intended for them to enjoy. And given it the way God intended. Now, there's another side to that as well. I mean, you know what it's like in the day we live in today. You know, the Bible says that with sin comes consequences. We've seen the consequences of this particular area of sin can kill you now. Because all it takes is one sinful mistake with our kids and we can lose them forever. My best friend died of AIDS. Now, I don't know exactly when that took place, but the bottom line is the gun's loaded. It was interesting. I think sometimes we think, well, we don't want to be too extreme with our kids or whatever. You know, there's now an epidemic of meningitis being spread by teens kissing. Watching a news article just a couple of days ago where some kids are dying, some are having permanent brain damage, all these things are happening, and it's simply from kissing. It's no other, it's absolutely just kissing. You think, well, now what could kissing hurt? Come on, they're just kissing. Guys, God has designed something. And some of you are going to think, man, you're so prudish. What do you mean? Listen, I want you to say, listen, God has designed us physically to where one thing naturally leads to another. That's how you're designed. You are designed with a specific design that when one thing happens, it should lead to another. And the only way that everything can lead to the way God ultimately wants it to lead is through the marriage vows, or else it leaves someone frustrated or sinful. The kiss is enjoyable. You kiss, it feels good. I like that. Think I'll do it again. God designed it that way. But then after the kiss, you start thinking, well, what else is there? Kiss was nice. What happens when our kids are doing that before it's time? What happens when desires are being aroused that cannot yet righteously be fulfilled? What happens? Is it either leads to sin or frustration? One of the two. And in our day and age, it could lead to death. It's a very serious situation. And so I think that we need to deal with it very seriously. God does. And not be afraid of talking to our kids about it. You know, one of the things I enjoy, and I've got to fly here. I've got to hurry. No, here's the bottom line. You know, guys, one of the things I found when you raise your kids in purity and you're open with them, you can talk about the most amazing things. I had a fear of my girls growing up and asking certain questions. I did. Now, if you're a parent, you know that fear. So, Dad, oh, please ask your mom. Or just, you know, someday I'll throw a book that direction and just run and hide. And you have any questions, you know, call your grandparents. I'm just kidding. But, you know, when you're raising your kids and being just open with them and you're not teaching them that these things are bad, it's not naughty, it's not all, just living life. You know, you're loving your wife, you're kissing in front of your kids, you know, and, you know, they see that affection in this, you know, in the household or whatever, and these questions come up, it can be dealt with so beautifully and so naturally, and it's not awkward. And I've had a few of these conversations recently with the girls. I've had some conversations I thought that only the mom would ever have with them. And yet they're so free just to play devil, Daddy, what about this? I'm thinking, wow. I'm excited that they're free with me. And then we just talk about it. And it's becoming this thing where this is a beautiful thing. It's part of God's design. And we need to be able just to share with them and say, but now here's how God says it's to be used. And it's a wonderful thing and all, but there's a certain time for it. And one day God's going to bring you a husband and a wife. And boy, that's when God says, and it's just going to be a great time. And you know this, and they understand that. And so there's not this thing going, well, why is he saying no? And why are they saying no? Well, maybe I should find out because most of the stuff mom and dad don't let me do is fun. And so here I go, right? And if they realize, wait a minute, no, mom and dad are saying this is good and it's fun, it's great, and all they're just saying we need to do it God's way. Well, I can deal with that. Okay, I'll do it God's way. And there's this beautiful thing that takes place. Don't be afraid to just pray for God to give you this openness. Now, some of you are farther along down the road with your kids. You know, you can't take this exact approach, but you can say, God, what approach can I take with my kids? And just showing them the way life's supposed to be. Well, especially in some of these sensitive areas. You know, Lord, how do I do this? God will be faithful to do that. And so I think that first we need to make sure that we get right with the Lord and repent, and then we can begin to instruct our kids and get them heading in the right way. And if you've been lax with your kids or you've been lax in your own life, don't despair. Listen, this is not a day of discouragement. It's a day of encouragement. Say, all right, Lord, I'm going to start over. And I'm going to trust in you now to give me the wisdom. And I'm going to go to the instruction manual and find out how it is I'm supposed to be and how things are supposed to be. You can't reverse what's already happened, but you can take the future now and set it in the right direction. And God will be faithful to deal with that. Maybe sometime down the road for some of us before we'll see the impact in our lives personally and even in our kids, but it'll come. So I think that as we finish today, as we look at this, I mean, we talked about a Christian, you know, the wedding the way God wants it to be. But guys, let us finish with this. Listen, I've been involved in both weddings, those who know the Lord and those who don't know the Lord. And weddings that don't know the Lord, there's just something missing. It's just kind of, you're excited and congratulations and it's great to see you married. But then you go in those relations where they know the Lord and there's this rejoicing. There's this joy that just, again, I believe God gives to it. And the difference, the only difference is the same thing between a marriage that's struggling and a marriage that's doing well is getting the eyes on the Lord. And so if you don't even know the Lord, first thing you need to do is get to know him. You know, I believe that the Father desires to have another wedding ceremony today. And you say, well, how is that, Mark? Well, by presenting you to Jesus, the Father presenting you to his Son as his bride, that you might live happily ever after. And so God first has to bring you to know him before he can do anything in your marriage and in your kids' life, at least through the Spirit. I mean, today the Father has walked you down the aisle in order to present you to his Son in commitment. But now it's your responsibility to accept it. And God has brought you to that place, to the altar right now in your heart, saying, you know what? If you don't know the Lord right now, listen, if you have any doubt in your mind at all, you have any questions, I don't know for sure that I know. I don't know that if I died right now, I'd go to heaven. Then right now, the Father has walked you down the aisle and he said, here is my Son. I want you to be joined spiritually in marriage. I want you to now be saved and be born again and all your sins be washed away and all the mess that you're in. Yeah, there's still going to be problems, but now you're going to have help. And I'm going to, by the power of my Holy Spirit, begin to minister in your life. But you've got to say, I do. Because if you don't say, I do, it doesn't do any good. So as God's representative, I finish this with this. Will you take Jesus as your Lord and your Savior? And will you love him, honor him, and cherish him until death do you see him face to face? Let's pray. Lord, that is our desire, is that if there are any here today that don't know you, Lord, that right now they would ask forgiveness of their sins as you have walked them down the aisle in their heart to be joined to your Son. And they would say, I do. Asking forgiveness and receiving your death on the cross in their place, Lord, that they might be forgiven and saved eternally, giving their life to you. Lord, I pray for any marriages in here that are struggling right now and they don't know you. Lord, I pray, God, that you would now begin to move in their heart that they would know you, that they would realize in order to build that foundation, they have to first give their life to you to be able to do that. And for those of us in this room that do know you, Lord, and are right now maybe in a struggling marriage, God, help us to commit not to irreconcilable differences, but to obey and to find out what instruction your word gives so that we might not only lay a good foundation, but Lord, as we look even further next week at establishing the marriage, that we might do what it is we are called to do in our part so that we might follow the instruction manual, your word, and have the marriage the way that you designed it to be. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Isn't it interesting that it only took a couple of chapters in after God created everything for mankind to find a way to rebel? This is human nature, isn't it? Throughout history, God has something great in mind, but people find loopholes and do things their own way, rebelling against God. Something that's striking in the book of Genesis is that God remains faithful even when mankind does not. God keeps his promises when it would be impossible for anyone else to do so. What an amazing God we serve. Pastor Mark has been working his way through the opening book of the Bible, and there's so much more to gain from it. Come to the Table is a radio ministry of Calvary Knoxville. If you're enjoying these teachings, head over to thewaymedia.net to hear more. Just click on the Come to the Table tab. While you're there, if you have any questions or comments about today's message, we'd love to hear them. Just look for the questions and comments link. If you're ever in the Knoxville, Tennessee area, we'd love for you to drop in and see us. You can find service times and locations on thewaymedia.net. Scroll to the bottom of the page and find a link to Calvary Knoxville. We have several service times that could accommodate whatever type of schedule you have. We're so thankful that you've joined us today, listening to Pastor Mark's thoughts and insights on the book of Genesis. There's more to learn and appreciate from the beginning of the Bible on. So come next time, grab your Bible, maybe a cup of coffee, and be ready to understand the great things God has for you to learn the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.